You have your Bibles. Open them up with me this morning to the book of Zechariah. That's way back in the Old Testament, one of those little bitty minor prophets. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4 in Zechariah. And in this passage, I know that you probably heard a verse or two from this passage before, but this message is filled with so much good encouragement for us. And to us this morning. Last week, Pastor Adam, he spoke to you about do not lose heart. And in regard to our restoration and speaking through grace and mercy as a follower of Jesus Christ, his scripture reference was in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking about our calling and how we are to serve one another. And he asked the question, he said, what causes Christians just to give up or to lose heart? And one reason he suggested is that we think sometimes that we may have not got enough or what we were asking for from God. And then Pastor Adam also asked, he says, why does God choose such a fragile vessel, as we talked about in praise, to put such a beautiful treasure in? And he noted that it's to remind us of how fragile and weak that we really are, in which God's strength grows stronger in us. And he said, because it's when we finally get to a point and realize that in our spiritual walk, it's our brokenness that defeats the pride in our lives. And he gave Moses and Jonah and Peter as examples of how their brokenness, God had to break them to get rid of that pride in their life before he was able to use them for his vessel. And for also us to recognize his grace and his mercy and forgiveness in our lives, that we have a need of our responsibility, and that is to protect that mercy and forgiveness and grace, to protect it, to guard it, to refill it, and to restore it. Those are our responsibilities as a believer in Christ. And when you come and join in with the fellowship of believers, you get that. You get that restoration. You get that refill. You get that guarding as we pray over you and pray for one another. Well, today, we're going to follow through in that by discovering how God is able to do an amazing work in your life and my life little by little. And to realize the importance of how much praise can have in your life by shouting out Psalms 150 verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And we pray peace over Dale and Veda this morning and Trish. And we just pray that you would just surround them with healing, Father. Just wrap your arms around them and to sustain them and to renew and refresh and just refill them full of faith and grace and love, Father. Because in you alone is found the freedom that we have through you. And thank you for promising to give us your peace in our life, especially during those trials and those difficult times that we go through. And you know, Father, the things that have been weighing down in our hearts and in our lives with worries and anxieties and fears. And so we ask that you just guard our hearts and our thoughts with your peace in Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to fix our minds on your spirit, Father. And through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, as we look in our Bibles this morning, in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, let's look at, we'll just start at verse 1 in chapter 4. It says, "Then an angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who was waking from his sleep." And then go down to verse 5 and said, "So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Verse 6, then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" That's the passage many of you may be familiar with. And then in verse 7, "What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid a foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you.'" Now, here's the verse I want to focus on this morning, verse 10. "For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." I want to speak to you today about this amazing verse. This passage, of course, like I said, is a popular one in the Bible, found in this little book of Zechariah, this little minor prophet. But it has a great meaning to it. And with one of those great promises that is attached to it that have helped many saints and churches throughout time and time again. And in the verses that we just read, this little verse in verse 10, I've never noticed it really. It just kind of pops out at me among the other scriptures that we read. They're powerful, powerful verses. But this one little verse in 10, verse 10, has a lot of meaning. In Jewish history, in the Old Testament, this guy named Zerubbabel was sent back to build the temple during the Israelites' captivity. The temple was initially destroyed. It was devastated by King Nebuchadnezzar during the initial captivity of the Israelites when they were led off to Babylon. But then through a series of four kings, finally King Cyrus comes along. He becomes king, and he realizes there's something different about these Israelites. And even Isaiah even prophesied that King Cyrus would be anointed by God to release some of the Jews in the Babylonian captivity in order to rebuild the temple. And so Zerubbabel, he found favor with the king of Babylon at that time, which was King Cyrus, to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of the city. And so as Zerubbabel went back with a band of followers from Israel, it started off great. They were all gung-ho in rebuilding the temple. But then the text tells us that it started to become like a mountain that just kind of was standing before them. He got going, but the dream and the vision that God had given to Zerubbabel to get this temple rebuilt, it just kind of ceased. And an angel, God sent an angel, and the angel said in verse 7, "Thus says the Lord to you, Zerubbabel, the mountain that you are facing is going to be able to get smoothed out. It'll move from this massive, uncrossable mountain to a smooth highway and a smooth plain that I have for you, that you'll be able to walk right into the promise that God gave him." And then he said something else powerful. He said in verse 9, "And your hands laid the foundation." And he says, since your hands laid the foundation, your hands are going to finish this project as well. "For who has despised the day?" "Do not despise the day," one translation said, "of small beginnings." It's an angel talking to Zerubbabel about small things, about seemingly insignificant things. Don't despise the small start or the little things. Don't despise how insignificant your vision may be in which God has given you in your life. I mean, it may look like your dream was way down here when you were believing for so much bigger things up here, much greater things that God's going to do or was going to do in your life. So I'm speaking to you today about this angel, how he was talking about these small things to Zerubbabel. I want to title it Little by Little. Zerubbabel, he was in a dilemma. He was sitting there with an unfinished building project, and God said to him to rebuild the walls. And now, nothing's happening. It's been 10 years. 10 years, the workers stopped showing up. They were actually being sued. You can read the story for yourself, but they were literally being shut down by the government. That was against what they were doing all during this time. And the leaders over that province in which they were trying to build that temple wanted to shut them down. And the project was started, but now it's just sitting there unfinished for over 10 years. That's a long time for something just to sit. I know many of you remember Heritage Park Mall. It's been sitting there for longer than 10 years. And so you can kind of picture in your mind how something just sits there for 10 years. You just keep driving by it or going by it wondering, I wonder what something's going to happen to that building. Are they going to tear it down? Or are they going to rebuild it back up? What's going to happen? And so God sent an angel to this depressed leader, a person who started out with a blaze of a vision that God gave him. All right, we're releasing us from captivity to go back and rebuild our temple so we can worship God again. And with a great success, and he gathers a bunch of people up from Israel that's been captive in Babylon, and they say, let's go, guys, let's get this thing up. And now it's just not happening. Nothing. There's no progress being made in what Zerubbabel had knew what God had called him to do. It's kind of like when we went through the pandemic. I mean, things were going great, and all of a sudden the pandemic hits, and boop. I mean, many churches have shut down. It's sad to see that. And so this angel goes to this depressed leader with a little small talk, and he says, let me tell you the key to this whole miracle here that God's shown you. And that's this, that you don't despise the little or the small part that God started in your life. Because if God ever starts something, then He is the author and the finisher. Amen? And He will never leave it like it is, even though maybe you've seen nothing taking place for 10 years or maybe more in a certain area of your life. Devil was whispering in Zerubbabel's ear that you're just a dismal failure. You just need to finally give up on that vision. You need to give up on that hope that God gave you. That was a pipe dream. That was your mind telling you that. That wasn't God telling you that. Because it's just not going to happen. Because Zerubbabel, he's standing in the middle of something that was unfinished. He's depressed. Nobody's showing up anymore. The excitement for the vision of the project is over. He kind of has location frustration. And that's where he knew where he was going, but he didn't understand where he was now. It's like, why, God? Why are we still here? And that's when God sent the angel to Zerubbabel. And the angel said, Zerubbabel, what do you got in your hand? And he said, well, I've got this plumb line. That's the thing that builders use to make sure things are straight when they build it. So the angel said, well, then that's what I'm going to use. It's a small beginning, string with a weight on the end of it. In other words, the angel was telling Zerubbabel, just hold the line. And just hold the line what you got. Because when God tells you something, do not despise the day of small beginnings. It may not look like much now. It may look like a dismal failure. But hold the line. Hold what you got. Hold on to it. And God says, I called you to do it. You started it. And your hands are going to finish it in my time. I know you're frustrated because it's your time, but God says, I have no time. I've got all the time in the world. I made time. And it's going to happen because it's not by might and it's not by your talent or powers, Zerubbabel, or your connections that you have, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Well, what do I do, Lord? You get out front and you hold the line. Just hold the line. That's what I called you to do. And then the angel tells Zerubbabel this. He says, take that finished stone, the headstone. That's usually the last stone that you put in after you build something when a project is completed. And the angel told Zerubbabel, he says, go get that headstone and shout grace, grace to it. There's the praise I was referring about earlier. Which means that if God's grace doesn't do it, then you might as well forget it. And that's why it's so important to praise God. And to, if you can't praise God for anything, just praise Him for the grace that He has given and shown you. And that's why it's so important about grace. That's why the angel told Zerubbabel, say grace, grace over it. If you have a dream and it's bigger than maybe what you're able to do right now in your life, and it started maybe out as amazing and you're really excited about it, but now maybe you're in a place in your life where there's not a whole lot of activity just not happening concerning that hope or that dream that God gave you in your life. And it's going to take the grace of God, that the grace that God can only give you to do something that He has called you in your life for you to do. I know sometimes we just look at the big things, the big picture, and we get caught up in that. But there's so much of God's glory and grace in the small things. Those little insignificant things that we don't think much of is where God does His most powerful work. That the grace of God is upon you. And that's what the angel was talking about to Zerubbabel. Sometimes we forget about just how much God's grace is in our life from Him. Because we're looking for so much other bigger things for God to do in our spiritual walk. We forget about how strong and how powerful grace is. Because Zerubbabel was standing there amid the unfinished and he was just wanting to quit. And hopefully somebody's listening to me today, because there's never a good time to quit. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know. I'm going through hell right now. Well, don't stop there. Just keep going. Keep moving. We're to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not to camp out there. Just keep moving. Keep holding the line and keep moving on. Don't camp out in hell. Don't camp out in the valley of death. Just keep moving on. You know, God notices a holding on spirit in our lives where you just have to get out front and hold the line sometimes to what faith that you have and hold on to it and say, I'm not letting go, God, until you bless me. It's the little things. Little by little, do not despise the day, the scripture says, of small beginnings. Some of you keep waiting for something big to happen in your life, to transform your life, or some door of opportunity to open for you to walk into and just change your life. Maybe some of you are hoping to win the lottery. I don't know. But you're hoping that God pulls back the veil and says, boom, it happens. But everything that we do starts small. And then little by little, it grows. It's hard to see that sometimes, but it's true. The little prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he says, but as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you're too little even to be numbered among the clans of Judah. You're tiny. You're small, but God has such a big plan for that little bitty town called Bethlehem. David, the king of Israel, would be born in that city of Bethlehem. And then even later, Jesus Christ was born in that city. It was the beginning but it was a small thing. What if they had despised the day of small beginnings? There's glory in the little thing when God's hand is upon it, little by little. The scripture says in the Bible, can anything ever good come out of Nazareth? That was the saying back then. It was popular because it was considered the smallest little nowhere place in Israel back in the Bible days. Can anything good come out of that side of town? Can anything good come out of that bad neighborhood that they have? Can anything good come out of that dysfunctional family that live there? Despise not the day of small beginnings. It's little, but it's loaded. The word despise means to not undervalue where you're at. In the Old Testament, Joseph, he learned not to devalue where he was at. And so when they threw him in the pit, they stripped him of his coat and they sold him into Egyptian slavery. The scripture said that in the book of Genesis, that when they put him in Potiphar's house, he did not despise the day of small beginnings as a slave or as a servant. But he worked so hard that Potiphar, the chief executioner of Egypt, put him over his whole house. And then, of course, you have the incident with the Potiphar's wife. And she lied about Joseph, so they threw him in prison for a crime he did not commit. I mean, to me, that was a blessing in itself because, you know, Potiphar, he was the chief executioner. And so if his wife told him something like that, it wouldn't be take a snap of the fingers for Joseph's head to be chopped off or something like that. But he was thrown in prison. And Joseph was in prison for 17 years. We like to glaze over that fact and turn over a page in our Bible and see something different. 17 years. Many of you have seen on the news the fellow that they had unjustly accused and put in prison until finally they did some testing and realized he is innocent. But he served a long time in prison. And just like Joseph, he served 17 years for a crime he didn't commit, but yet he did not despise where he was. But instead, the Bible said that he worked and he saw the value of where he was at and it paid off. Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 through 23 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge of all of the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it." The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Nothing was done in that prison that was not done through the hands of Joseph, because he was in charge of all of those prisoners. I mean, just picture in your mind, I mean, you can just picture that Joseph's jail cell was so clean, his bed was made. I don't know what he did, but whatever he did, he flourished in it. So, quit waiting on your big break. If you feel that maybe you're in a prison right now, just know that God knows where you are at in your life. And if God starts something, he will finish it. And after 17 years, God said concerning Joseph, since you didn't devalue the little things, in about 24 hours, I'm about to take you from the prison to the palace, and you're going to sit at the right hand of the king. And I'm here to tell you today that until you do it good, where you're at, you're not going to get any more. Well, I'm called by God to do great things, but I'm stuck here flipping burgers. Sweat running down. It's hot in here. Well, if you don't flip those burgers good, you're never going to see anything better. How about those little things in our lives? Well, I'm waiting, God, to give me a house. I want a house to live in. But the apartment you're living in looks like a dump. Keep it clean. You have to value where you're at, because God sees that kind of stuff. Verse 10 of our passage today says, "These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." He sees those little things. You don't cut your grass. You have your car up on cinder blocks, but yet you're waiting for God to give you more. Ain't going to happen until you start little by little. Luke chapter 19, scriptural basis for that. You have the parable of the talents. The first servant was given a talent, and the Bible said he looked at it and he said, "That's all I'm getting? One talent? That's a small-time mess. That ain't going to buy anything. I'm not going to be able to do anything with this one talent. That's just a little bit. I'm going to wait till I win the lottery. I mean, then I'll do something with it. But right now, this thing is nothing." And the Bible says that he hid it. Second servant, he was given a talent, and he took it, and he invested it, and he worked it. And he did not despise the day of small beginnings. And listen to this. And the Bible said that he was faithful with a little. If you can't tithe right now, start with a little. Start with a little. Something to give. Little by little. Jesus said, "Because you've been faithful with a little," Jesus translates faithfulness with little into kingdom reigning. He said, I'm going to put you over 10 cities. And if you keep reading that story, he put him over 10 cities because he was faithful with a little. And then he looked at the guy that did nothing with his talent and what he had, because he said it was too little. And Jesus says, "You wicked servant. I'm going to take what you've got and I'm going to give it to the guy who would do something with what he had. Little by little." And he wouldn't despise the day of small beginnings, no matter how much small I gave him to do something with. Little by little. You can see God's amazing grace in your life. But it happens little by little. When God wanted to remove Israel from 400 years of bondage, he said, "I'm going to use an old man with a magic stick and an animal." "What kind of animal? Is it going to be a lion?" "Nope." "Is it going to be a cheetah maybe? They're strong, they're fast, they run fast." "Nope." "How about an eagle? They're mighty, they soar majestically, and they got massive claws." "Nope." "What's he going to use?" "A lamb." So you have an old man, long hair, nice, full, good beard, with nothing but a stick and a lamb. He's going to bring 2 million people out of 400 years of bondage, because that lamb is going to be slain and the blood's going to be painted and put over those doorposts, and Pharaoh's going to give up, and his firstborn dies, and he goes and says to the old man and the Israelites, "Get out of here. Just get. Tired of looking at you and tired of messing with you." Do not despise the day of small beginnings, because it happens little by little. And you know, Pharaoh, he wouldn't have had to deal with that issue if he had a little fear in his life of God. Because you read about this little baby floating down the river in Exodus. Y'all remember that story in Exodus? Exodus chapter 1? Pharaoh put out an order for all the baby boys of the Israelites, the Hebrew children, throw them into the river, let the crocodiles eat them. And so while Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and Miriam, Moses' sister, and Jochebed, Moses' mother, put him in a little basket, And they floated him down the river. And Miriam, Moses' sister, who worked for Pharaoh's daughter as a servant girl, while Pharaoh's daughter is in the river bathing, Miriam made sure that that baby Moses, floating in a basket, happened just to float up to Pharaoh's daughter, just around the river curve. Because she knew as a servant girl that Pharaoh's daughter wanted to have a baby, but she was unable to conceive. You heard Jan's story today about having an adoptive child. Well, this Pharaoh daughter wanted the same thing. She wanted to have a baby, but she was unable to conceive. And so all of a sudden, here comes this baby floating in a basket. And all of this was coordinated by Miriam, who probably was between 7 and 13 years old, to make sure that that basket made it to the princess. I mean, all we hear about is Moses and how he delivered the Israelites. And we hear about Moses' brother Aaron, the first great high priest. Why don't we hear more about Miriam? Moses would have died in the river. He would have become crocodile food if it wouldn't have been for his sister Miriam. It was Miriam who notified the princess. Once she found the baby in the basket, the baby was crying and he was needing feeding. And Miriam says, "You know, I know of a mother who could probably nurture him." And the princess says, "You do? This baby needs feeding. I can't do it." So the princess agrees for Miriam to bring this nursing mother so the baby could be fed. And then in turn, Miriam brings her mother, the mother of Moses. And she gets paid in wages to feed the baby for the princess. So now she's getting paid to do now what she would have done for free. But if it wasn't for Moses, if it wasn't for Miriam, Moses and Aaron, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, wouldn't have happened. All because of Moses, or all because of Miriam, brought Moses to the princess and used her mother to nurture and nurse the baby. I need to hear all you mothers out there say amen. You're getting paid to do something she would have done for free. Because there would be no Moses. There would be no Aaron the high priest if there wasn't this little girl, 7 to 13 years old, who took control of a situation and changed the destiny of a nation because she was a servant girl for an important person. So despise not the day of small beginnings. God says to you and I put you right where I want you to change things little by little. And that's why we have the first 5 books of the Bible that was all in that little baby that floated in a basket down the river to the princess. Despise not the day of small beginnings. And so when you see that, then you and I can see in the Bible that God said even to Samuel in the Bible, go and anoint someone to be king of Israel. Go to Jesse's house. So Jesse, the father, brought out all of his boys. He had 8 boys, and he brought all of them in but David. And 7 of them looked like they were kingly type material. They were big, they were burly, they were handsome. And Samuel started to pour the oil on them when all of a sudden he said, nope, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one, surely not that one, not that one. And then he said, Jesse, do you have anybody else? And Jesse says, well, I do have a boy out back, but I don't believe in him much, and I'm even his father. Jesse said, I'm just telling you, he's kind of a little guy. He's kind of the run of the litter. But listen to what God said about David in the Psalms. I love this. God said in Psalms chapter 78, verses 70 through 72, it says, I saw David when he was following the ewe pregnant with lambs. And God says, I noticed David I notice the little things about our walk, about our life that people don't see. And God said, the first time that David caught my attention, it was because he was kind to pregnant sheep. I liked how he picked up the pregnant sheep and carried it whenever he saw the pregnant sheep who was struggling. And God says, you don't think I see the little things? I'm the God who notices those little things in your life. Listen to this. God noticed Joshua in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. For the first time in the Bible, Joshua is mentioned in Exodus 33:11. And the Bible said that the young man would not depart from the tent. He would not leave the tabernacle. When the church service was over, all of his buddies said, let's go play ball. Let's have a good time. But this young lad named Joshua, God said, I noticed that he loves my church. And he loves my presence. He loves my tabernacle. He tarries in the tabernacle, some translations say. And later he became a mighty general. But it all started out as Joshua just loving the house of God. I noticed that, God said. It's the little things. It's the little insignificant things. Another time in 2 Kings chapter 3, God first noticed Elisha. Whenever he was pouring water over the hands of Elijah. Again, it's the little things. Luke chapter 5, verse 3. One time, the only thing that Jesus asked the disciple to do was to push the boat off the shore and give it a shove. In order for it to make a platform for Jesus. Because there were so many people around, they couldn't see him. They wanted to see him, but they couldn't. So Jesus needed to stand. He needed to borrow Peter's business, their fishing boat, to use it to preach from. And all the disciple did was push the boat into the water to let Jesus stand and preach. And for those people who were so desperate to hear what he had to say, Jesus notices the little things. Setting the stage for a miracle. Remember in Mark chapter 5 when Jairus' daughter was dead. The scripture said that Jesus told 9 of his disciples, I need you guys to wait out in the hall. He said, everybody get out of the room. And he turned to 9 of his disciples and said, I need you guys to go out in the hall. And then he took 3 of his disciples and he went took those to go into the room with him. And what I want you to understand is that sometimes God watches what you do. God watches what you and I do when we're standing on the outside while he's doing big business on the inside of other people's lives. The other 9 disciples, they had to keep a good attitude. God had a mighty plan for all 9 of those guys. But they had to have a good attitude to be able to stay out in that hallway when God was doing big stuff in the room. He was raising a dead person with 3 other disciples in the room, and they didn't get to go in there and see that. They had to stay out in the hall. Sometimes God has you and me in the hall. To give us an attitude check. Because he notices the little things. It's not easy to stay in the hall when Jesus is doing big business behind the door with other people. That's why it's important to keep a good attitude with the little things. Little things can distract us. Be willing to wait in the hall. The power of waiting in the hall with a good attitude is so important until God says it's your turn. And he will, little by little. The power of pushing a boat out and providing a stage for somebody else seems like a little thing, but while the other person is doing their big thing, but God notices that. But somebody had to push the boat out. I mean, it would have been a little awkward if Jesus was trying to push the boat out himself and trying to crawl in and trying to give a message to the people that came there to see him. What happens if he would have slipped and fell in the mud? God notices those little things that you and I do that may not have all glory attached to it. He notices that. In Judges chapter 15, there was an old donkey in Israel that laid down and died. Coyote or something came along, tore it all to pieces and ate it. And after he was done, the buzzards came along and they landed on it and they picked the rest of the meat up off the bones, and nothing was left of that old donkey but a skeleton. And then after that, probably an army of ants came and cleaned anything else that was left off that donkey, on all those old donkey bones. Finally, God says, "Is everybody finished with the donkey? Because that old donkey is about to see his finest hour." And so Samson, he comes along and he grabs the jawbone of that old donkey skeleton and he kills 1,000 Philistine, 1,000 enemies of God with what was left. It didn't look like much, just a donkey bone, jawbone. It was a little thing. But in the hands of God, it was a vessel to be used mightily to accomplish a great purpose. And that's another reason, Pastor Adam, why God places that beautiful treasure inside of our weak vessels, to do something mighty. I mean, some folk think that they're just old donkeys, but they can see their greatest days if they'll just trust God and believe in Him and the little things. And just know this, when you do, God may drop you in the middle of the strangest places and say to you, "I want you to do it here." Ezekiel chapter 37, God took Ezekiel, dropped him in a graveyard, and said, "Have at it. Have a revival." Ezekiel replied, "God, there's nothing here but a bunch of bones. Despise not the day of small beginnings." And you know, it really doesn't please me to tell you this, but I have to tell you guys, there's not enough wonderful places and not enough great churches just for God to place you in. So people that are always going around looking for the right church, they'll never find it. But they will do this if they trust God. God will drop you into a place. And he'll say to you, "Let me see some passion. Let me see some prayer. Let me see if you're going to come, stick, and stay. Let me see some sweat. Let me see some tears. Let me see you help build it. And whenever you do start building it and you start getting weary, let me see if you can turn that endurance and see you transform it into adventure." That's what God does. Lord told Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, he said, "Tell the elders of Babylon who are down there in Babylon captivity that they want to come home to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is where the glory is. That's where it's all wonderful and all. And remember the good old days, how we used to go to the temple and praise God, and now we're in this God-forsaken place, Babylon. Such a wicked place, such an evil place." So God told Jeremiah, "I want you to tell these people, you tell those elders that are whining and complaining," listen to what he said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 5 through 7. He says, "I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens and sow and seek peace and prosperity in the city to wherever I have put you. Pray for peace for that city because it'll prosper. And because if it prospers, then you will prosper." In other words, God's telling us in our lives, build houses and plant gardens. I don't care how bad it is wherever you're at. And that's kind of how you feel about America right now. It looks bad. It looks dark. But you know what? We are the church. And we may be in a version of Babylon right now. We're not home yet. We are not in the new Jerusalem. So what are we going to do? Complain? Gripe? No, we're going to build houses and we're going to build gardens and We're going to be the light, and we're going to stand up for what's right. And we're going to be preaching truth and grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to get out and make a difference. And we're going to say, this is our nation. And we will bless God, for we are the church. Hell cannot have our schools. Hell cannot have our marriages. Hell cannot have our communities. It cannot have our cities. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, he says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. You may think that you don't have really any insignificance to change America or to make a difference for God and His kingdom. But let me tell you this, God chooses people that think that they're nobodies. And He puts them into places and makes them somebodies in some places. What I'm saying to you is that right where you are, God can bless you. Right where you are, God can use you. Right where you are, God can raise you from insignificance to have great impact for His glory. And so I don't know if anybody in here feels like giving up, but this, if you are, this message is for you today. But it's that God is a God who can take small things and He can multiply them. He can multiply it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you and I can ever think and ask for. You don't believe me? Ask the little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to see what God can do. If you're in a painful season in your life and it looks like your dream is drying up and it's dying, and just know that God does not want you to quit. God does not want you to give up. He wants you to hold the line. Despise not the little day. Hold the line. You don't see what God's doing. True story, there was a couple out in California that lived in the neighborhood, and they were real close to their neighbors. And this was in an article. It said that they lived up in this mountainous type of area, and in the backside of their homes was kind of a little valley area. And in that valley, they grew a lot of mushrooms. And so they would go out and pick these mushrooms. It was kind of an annual thing that they would do. And they would bring them back to the house. And I'm not talking about the kind of mushrooms that give you hallucinations, but I'm talking about the kind that you can eat that are really good, the morel mushrooms, of that nature. So after they picked these mushrooms, they said, man, we have such an abundance of mushrooms this year. We have so many mushrooms. We're going to have mushrooms for dinner. We're going to have mushroom almonds. We're going to have mushroom casserole. In other words, they had a lot of mushrooms. They had so much that they invited 4 or 5 of their neighbors to come over and eat them. They had a big party. They, you know, cooked all the mushrooms, and it was kind of an annual event that they would do, is have a dinner party. But they had so many mushrooms this year that they just had a feast. And after they'd all eaten, they put all the mushroom leftovers, if there were any, in their plates, and they were cleaning up and putting the dishes in the sink and so forth. And after all they'd eaten, they laid down the scraps for their pet cat to eat, that they had as a pet. Well, the cat just started gobbling up those mushroom scraps and dinner remains like it was starving, like it hadn't seen food in a week. So they went back outside on the patio, was having a good time with their neighbors, visiting and laughing, and they came back in later, and when the guy came into the kitchen, the cat was laying by the refrigerator, its tongue was hung out, its belly was swollen, it was kind of breathing hard. And then he quickly called the vet, and the vet told him, he said, I think you may have picked what you thought was good mushrooms, but in reality, they probably were toadstools, and they could kill you. So you and all your dinner guests, you need to go down to the emergency room immediately and have your stomachs pumped out. Isn't that wonderful? So they go down to the emergency room, and 5 hours later, after having what you can't even imagine pumped out of their stomachs, they all make it back home, and I don't really think that anybody's felt like speaking to anybody. The couple comes back into their home. What a horrible, horrible end to a dinner party. The wife, she says, I'm just going to bed. So the wife goes into the bedroom, goes straight to bed. Husband says, tells her, I'm going to lock up. I'm going to turn out the lights. And he says, I'm going to head to bed as well. He said, I'm just sacked after that episode. So when he does, he goes into the kitchen and he sees the cat. And the cat sitting there next to the refrigerator was 6 kittens. So what he thought was death pains was in reality birth pains. And I don't know who this message is for today, but don't misread your situation that you may be in right now. Because sometimes it may look like death, but what you're actually going through is birth pains in your walk with Christ, when in reality, you can't give birth without birth pains. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. What's the takeaway? Is that right where you are, God can bless you. Right where you are, God can use you. Right where you are, God can raise you from insignificance of what you think you are in your life to have great impact for His glory. Never, ever, ever think that you're a nobody. Miriam never dreamed that she would be the reason why we have the first 5 books in the Old Testament full of God's deliverance. How many of you believe that God's the God of small things? Amen? Small beginnings. And so what I'm trying to say to you, that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 40 and 44, that when this cloud appeared, Elisha prayed, and it was the size of a man's hand. That's all it was. But when God's in it, little is much. And He accomplishes a great work in you and me, little by little. And if you respond in faith, it's the small things. The Bible said that all of a sudden the rain began to pour and the clouds began to multiply. You will be able to hear it first. He said, I heard the sound of an abundance of rain in verse 41. And so today you're hearing this message, that you will hear it first. And if you will take what you're hearing and mix it with faith and shout grace, praising God, asking for God's grace to get in with what you're called to do. If it's a ministry, then get in it and start serving God. Get in the youth ministry. Get in the adult ministry. Get in the children's ministry. Get into something while you're shouting grace, grace. Because it's the small prayers, it's the small beliefs, and all it takes is a mustard seed of faith. Just look around and see the small things that God is doing. He can turn it around if you'll just believe. Say to that mountain, you're going to be a smooth plain because the Bible says so, because your hand started it, and your hands are going to finish it by God's grace. Just receive it today. Don't mistake where you are as death pains. It's birth pains. For nothing is impossible unto you. Amen? As we stand this morning and begin to worship Him all over this room, please stand and let's all sing praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout grace, grace. And just pray and just say, Father, just please use me. Use my gifts, use my talents. I will not despise the day of small beginnings because I believe it's going to happen little by little. This is a big moment. This is the big moment that can mark you. And if you'd like one of our prayer counselors to pray with you, as Jan comes up this morning and others there, this morning, anything that's on your heart, we're always available. So please come and let us minister to you. And as we close in singing, you come as the Spirit leads you. Let's sing.